welcome to Grace City Church Online. We're excited that you are able to tune in to our online message recordings. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would speak clearly to you through this message, that you would grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Word and share it with those around you. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And now, on to the message.
All right. So, for the past few months, we've actually been studying the book of Acts, but I wanted to take a break today and talk about something different. I normally, on holidays like Easter and Christmas, if you've been, at our church any amount of time, I normally don't deviate from the series because the gospel's the gospel, right? And so why do we have to try to make it something special on a different day? It's the same thing, you know, the year round. And so, but I felt like God was laying something particular on my heart today that I want to share with you. And so we'll pick back up in Acts next week. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go to God's Word. So let's pray. Father God, we just adore you. And I'm just so grateful to be here in this place and to be able to worship you with this community of faith that I call family, and to be able to celebrate the greatest gift that man has ever, can ever, will ever know, and that is your son, Jesus. God, I pray, Father, as we point to the gospel this morning and as we share your word, I pray, Father, that it wouldn't be by my ability or by my inability to preach your word, Father, that people hear your voice. I pray, Father, that the power of your Spirit is present in this place, and you would speak to your people. So, God, I pray right now that we would just open up our hearts to hear from you, that would be our prayer right now. God, help me to hear your voice right now, and then speak to us, Lord. We invite you in this morning, and we focus all of our attention on you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Love, joy, hope, peace. Those are four words that get thrown around quite a bit during the Christmas season, right? It's everywhere you look. You can see those words printed on signs. You see them on Christmas cards. They're present in commercials. We actually look for them as themes during the season when we watch movies or television shows. I'm not sure if they're present in Hallmark movies, but whatever. But we look for them, right? We look for them during this time of season. We want to watch Christmas movies, and we want those movies to be about those things, right? Love, joy, hope, peace. We look for them in the music we listen to during this time of year. And we look for them even in the news, which is difficult to find nowadays, right? And they're words of great expectations, are they not? Love, joy, hope, and peace. Where we see a world that's in great need of those things. And even if for just a moment during the holiday season, we believe, right, that those things are a possibility, despite the brokenness that is around us. One of my favorite Christmas stories is the story of the Christmas Truce of 1914. I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but World War I had only begun months before. And on the Western Front, between the German forces and the Allied forces, the fighting was extremely fierce. And if you're familiar with World War I, trench warfare was very common during World War I, in that the two sides would build a system of trenches, and they would face off in these trenches against one another. And in the middle of those trenches, what separated them was a field of flat land known as no man's land. And no man's land was kind of the kill zone. So if you had to emerge from the trench to try to advance to the other side, you entered this kill zone. It was extremely dangerous to be inside the trench, but it was even more dangerous to be outside of the trench, because then you were basically a sitting duck. And so On Christmas Eve in 1914, in the midst of harsh conditions, extremely dangerous and volatile conditions, something miraculous happened. As they were in their trenches, the Allied forces, they heard singing coming from the German forces' trenches. And it was a song that they were familiar with. The song that they heard that night was Silent Night. And what happened next is nothing short of a miracle. And instead of just me telling you the story, a chain of grocery stores in the UK called Sainsbury's, they actually filmed a 3-minute commercial depicting the events of that Christmas Eve. And so I just want to share that video really quick with you. Check this out. It's a true story. Happened Christmas Eve, 1914. One German lieutenant described the events of that Christmas in a diary that he wrote, and this is what he wrote. This is a real lieutenant's diary that was found in an attic in Germany. Eventually, the English brought a soccer ball from their trenches, and pretty soon a lively game ensued. They played soccer together, as you saw. How marvelously wonderful, yet how strange it was. The English officers felt the same way about it. Thus, Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time. And I love that story because it shows us the power of this thing that we celebrate in Jesus's birth. I read that many of the commanding officers, when they found out what had happened that Christmas Eve, they were horrified. And they actually made a standing demand of all of their troops that they were not to cease fighting anymore on Christmas. But on that one particular Christmas Eve in 1914, a reminder of the birth of the Prince of Peace brought enemies together in unity, and for a brief moment, there was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And I don't know about you, but I believe that the world could definitely use a lot more of that, right? One of the things that I do every morning is I have a tendency in the morning to scroll through Twitter, and I read the highlights of the news through various news sources. And like many of you lately, I dread reading the news because you don't see any good news. There is no good news. There's only bad news, right? It seems that every day we're bombarded with stories of conflict and strife and division and turmoil in the world around us. It seems like every day when I open up my news feed, I read stories about nations at war, stories about racial discrimination or political corruption or political division. It's become all too common to hear tragic stories of public shootings, school shootings, shootings in shopping malls. We hear it all the time. We hear stories of abuse, sex trafficking, drug addiction, stories about families that have been destroyed. Now, those stories, as awful as they are evidence that our world is broken. And the truth is, they become so common that many of us, we become desensitized to the pain and suffering and brokenness in the world around us. But if you stop and think about it, as horrible as all of those things are that we hear every day, they serve as a constant reminder that things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. And I think that there's a very real reason. I don't know about you, and I tried to explain this to someone the other day, and I think I finally figured out in my heart what it is. But surrounding Christmas every year, I have this feeling of expectation. And I started to think, well, maybe it's just an expectation of what Christmas was like when I was a kid. And so I hold it up in this high regard, and I expect certain things around Christmas time. And so I've been thinking about that and praying through that quite a bit. And I think that there's a very real reason why we experience so much expectation around this time of year, so much anticipation in our hearts surrounding this season. And I truly believe it's because deep inside of our spirits, we intrinsically know, listen, that we need what only God can deliver. And that's the real story of Christmas, is that only God can deliver love, joy, hope, and peace. That stuff that our hearts desperately long for. That in the midst of our brokenness, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to restore to us in his love our joy, our hope, and our peace. Joy, hope, and peace, I want you to hear me, that we were created to live within. And so this morning, I'm just going to read a couple of passages of Scripture, and I want to start off by reading a prophecy that was spoken about Jesus 600 years before he came. This is what's called a messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy about the Messiah, the one that God promised to send to take away the sins of the world. And we know the Messiah to be Jesus. So these are words that were written about Jesus 600 years before he came. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's going to be up on the screen behind me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now you may be saying when you read that, because sometimes our hearts can deceive us. The Bible actually tells us that. Our hearts are deceptive. They deceive us. So you may be hearing those words, and you may be thinking, Tommy, I hear what you're saying, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but if God really sent Jesus to deliver peace into this world, why is there so much conflict and chaos and turmoil around us? But not just in the world, why is there so much conflict and turmoil and chaos in my own life, in my own heart? And can I just say, listen, the Bible understands your questions and doesn't shy away from them. For years, atheists have tried to dispel the notion that God exists by saying, if God exists and he's good, why is there so much suffering in the world? So this is an age-old question. And the thing that drives me crazy is I'm like, just read the Bible. It addresses those questions directly, right? You see, the real human predicament is that as human beings, we've chosen, as human beings, to live in a way that is contrary to how we were created to live. And the truth is, things like war and discrimination and hatred and strife and turmoil, they're all symptoms of a much deeper problem. Pastor and author Max Lucado, when I first got saved, Max Lucado was my favorite author because he taught me so much about God just by saying basic things. And I love Max Lucado. And so this is what he says. Listen to this. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And the Bible addresses it too. Isaiah, who we just read, he also addresses this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. I want to read this to you. This is what Isaiah says, the same guy who talks about Jesus coming and being the Prince of Peace. He says, all we, talking about all of us, like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. So here Isaiah uses the imagery of sheep and a shepherd to help us understand how destructive turning away from God is in our lives. You see, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep and feeds the sheep. The shepherd protects and takes care of the sheep. And as long as the sheep stay close to the sheep will be safe and secure. But listen to me. As soon as the sheep walk away from the shepherd, they put themselves in mortal danger. Do you understand what he's talking about here? Isaiah is saying, God is our shepherd, and like sheep, we have all turned away from him, walked away from him. Every single one of us is guilty of turning away from God and instead going our own way. And what Isaiah is reminding us is that if we continue down this path, it will destroy us. Now that turning away from God that Isaiah talks about, the Bible actually calls it something. The Bible refers to that turning away as sin. And the Bible tells us that every single one of us in this entire planet is guilty of sin. And if for some reason you still don't think that that includes you, listen to me. Every time you lie, every time you deceive someone, every time you gossip about someone, every time you slander someone's name, every time that you fail to love someone else, every time that you fail to forgive someone else, what you're doing is you're rebelling against God's design and plan for your life. Essentially, we, all of us, have committed treason against the sovereign king of the universe. I talk about sin all the time as being treason. Because if he is sovereign king, when we rebel against that king, what we're doing is we're committing treason. And so in doing so, listen, we have put ourselves at war with God. And not only have we put ourselves at war with God, we've put ourselves at war with ourselves. Because we're rebelling against who we were created and designed by God to be. So hear me out, okay? As a result, there's turmoil first and foremost in our relationship with God, but there's also turmoil in our own hearts. We can't find peace in our own hearts. And all of that causes us to constantly be at odds with one another. Are you hearing me? This is why we lack peace. And I've said this in here 100 times, but human beings have tried for generation upon generation to find peace on their own apart from God. And for all of our advancements as human beings, all of our intellectual advancements, all of our technological advancements, all of our philosophical advancements, we have failed as human beings across thousands upon thousands of years to find peace apart from God. But here's the good news. It's why we celebrate today, and really why we celebrate every day here at Grace City Church. Isaiah 53, the passage that we just read, where Isaiah tells us, like sheep, we've all gone astray. Where Isaiah tells us that, I kind of cut that part in the middle, but it's surrounded, listen to me, that passage of Scripture is surrounded by a promise from God. And so what I want to do is I want to reread that passage, because I'll just say, all we like sheep have gone astray, Merry Christmas, and then walk out the door. There'd be no hope in that, right? And that's not what Isaiah does. And so what I want to do is I want to read those verses again, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, and I want to read it with this promise that God gives us that surrounds it. This is what it says, Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 5. He's talking about, again, the Messiah, the one that he would send into the world to take away the sins of the world. He's talking about Jesus. He says, but he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That word iniquities just means sin. He was crushed for our sin. Upon him was the chastisement, or the punishment. It's just a fancy way to say punishment. Upon him was the punishment that brought us what? Peace. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And then he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, again, he's talking about Jesus. The Lord has, listen to this, laid upon him the iniquity or the sin of us all. So that's the good news, right? That in the midst of our rebellion against God, in the midst of our treason against God, God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus. And Jesus, whom Isaiah refers to earlier in Isaiah chapter 9 as the Prince of Peace, would live the life of perfect peace that we failed to live, and then he would pay the price for our sin and our rebellion against God on the cross. So on the cross, listen to me, this is good news. Jesus takes away all of our sin. He takes away all of our rebellion. He takes away all of our shame and all of our mistakes. And what he does is he asks you to trust him with those things. He says, you give me all of your rebellion, all of your sin, all of your shame, all your failure, all your mistake. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all of that onto myself. And I'm going to pay the price for your rebellion against God when they nail me to a cross. And my blood is going to be poured out for your sins. You give me that stuff. You trust me with that stuff. And I'll take it upon myself. And I will take the brunt of the full wrath of God and that punishment onto myself. And here's the good news. In exchange, if you trust me with your sin and your treason and your rebellion and your shame and your failures and your mistakes, if you trust me to pay the price for those things, in exchange, this is what we call the great exchange, okay? In exchange, I'm going to give you grace. You know what that word grace means? We talk about it in here all the time. It's out on the sign out front. That word grace means the undeserved favor of God. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. It is a gift from God. So Jesus is saying, you give me all of that nasty mess, that wickedness, that evil, that rebellion, that treason against God, and I'm going to pay the price for your treason. And then as a free gift, I'm going to give you God's undeserved favor. That's good news. On the cross, he restores our relationship to God. He gives us life abundant and life eternal. He gives us the right to be called sons and daughters. No longer are we enemies with God, but we're called sons and daughters of the Most High God. He is the love, the joy, the hope, and the peace that our hearts desperately long for. Earlier, my daughter read a passage from Luke chapter 2. And at the end of that passage, the angels are declaring the birth of the Savior, the birth of Jesus. And they declare it by praising and saying this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. I want you to hear that again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now I want you to pay attention, okay, because this verse doesn't say that all of us get peace, right? This verse says that only those of us with whom he is pleased get peace. So how am I sure? How do we know for sure that God is pleased with us? Well, the Bible doesn't leave us hanging. The answer is actually found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to throw that up on the screen. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. This is good news. Listen. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have what? Peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So I want you to hear me, okay? When we place our faith and trust in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we have peace with God. And he says it right there. He says, with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. Not because of anything that we've done. Not because we were so good or we were nice to people or we were generous and we gave to people or we just happened to show up to church every once in a while, which, by the way, doesn't make you saved, all right? We can be all of those things and still fall short of God's standard of holiness. It says we have peace, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. In the video we watched earlier, we see two enemies lay down their weapons and slowly emerge from their holes in the ground, right? And they slowly make their way to meet in the middle. Some of the accounts I read said that the Germans would say, hey, you guys come over here. And the Allied force was like, yeah, right. You know, and they would kind of go back, no, no, come over. And they'd be like, no, you come over here. And finally, they emerged and they met in the middle. But I want you to hear me. We don't meet God in the middle. It's not our goodness mixed with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. If we had any capacity for real goodness or any capacity to save ourselves, I want you to hear me, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross. He came all the way into enemy territory, across enemy lines, to bring us love, joy, hope, and peace. We couldn't meet him halfway because we weren't able. So he came all the way. And all he requires of us is just to trust him, to lay down our weapons, to come out of hiding, and to trust that we find everything that we're looking for in him. And I want you to hear this. Listen, when we have peace with God, we can enjoy the peace of God. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Right? It's about us just being wicked in our hearts. And I want you to hear me. Listen, if you're in here and you're not, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. If you're in here, let's agree on this thing. The world is a broken mess. Right? Every day we see suffering. We see it not just on a global level. We see it on a personal level. Some of us are going through some really difficult things right now. We're experiencing suffering within our bodies, within our minds. Some of us are suffering within our families and our relationships. Some of us, our marriages are suffering. And beyond that, you just look around you, right? And you're looking. It's funny how we're just like, man, just be nice for just a couple of weeks, guys. It's Christmas, right? It's kind of sad, isn't it? Please, just for 2 weeks, can you just be nice to each other, right? That's how messed up the world is. But really, around this season, we live with that expectation. But do we really see that goodness? We don't see much of it, right? I was reading just yesterday, even close to home, there was a hostage situation in Carrollton where a brother took his mom and his brother hostage. And you just think, man, that's close to home, you know. We hear of shooting at Cumberland Mall just a couple of weeks ago. It's just broken, right? You can see it on a micro level and then on a macro level. There's no peace anywhere on this earth apart from God. And so Christmas is about the fact that God settles that score and pays the debt that we owe in sending his son, Jesus. That's why we celebrate, not just on Christmas, that's why we celebrate every day here at Grace City Church. That we couldn't do it, God did it for us, and we love and worship him for it. So I'm going to invite the worship team up, and we're going to close the service a little differently today. We're going to start off by closing with communion. If you're a guest with us this morning, this is something we've actually started doing recently where we do communion every Sunday. We either do it here in the worship service or in our prayer gathering, kind of alternate it. But what better time than Christmas to celebrate the communion? You see, when we think about Christmas, we tend to focus on this baby lying in a manger, right? And that's great. That's absolutely wonderful that Jesus came and he became so vulnerable that he would become a child. He didn't come as a king. He didn't come as a warrior. He came as a baby, the most vulnerable thing on the planet, right? But we tend to focus all of our attention on that baby. But I think we have to also remember that baby became a man, right? And he lived and he walked and he went through everything that you and I could go through. And yet he was perfect. I love what C.S. Lewis says about it in Mere Christianity. He says, the Son of God became a man so that men could be sons of God. The Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. And so I was thinking, you know, we celebrate communion every week. And in Christmas, at Christmas time, it's not just a baby in a manger. It's that baby, listen, his body would be broken for us and his blood would be shed for us so that we could know grace and mercy and love and joy and hope and peace. The night that Jesus was arrested, he shared a final meal, a last supper with his disciples. In the middle of the meal, the Bible says that Jesus picked up bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, take and eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. And in the same way, when he was done with the bread, he picked up the cup. And he said, this cup is my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many. And then he tells us, he says, as often as you meet together, do this in remembrance of me. So when we meet together, listen, we're to focus all of our attention on the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, because in that we have life. It's the whole reason that we meet together. And so in just a second, we're going to have a time of communion. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you want to partake, we want to invite you to partake. If you're not and you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. You can just sit quietly. But what I want to invite you to do is just take, before we take communion, is to take a couple of minutes. And I want you to just do business with God. I just want you to start praying, because the Bible tells us that when we come before the Lord's table, we're to examine our hearts first. And so what does that mean? Well, for some of you in here, you're wrestling with some real sin issues in your life. You're a follower of Jesus, but you just can't seem to shake loose from that temptation that keeps pounding on you. And today, before you come to the Lord's table, I want you to acknowledge that Jesus paid the price for your sin, past, present, and future. That means he took care of all of the sins of your past. He took care of all of the sins of your present, the things that you're doing right now, and everything that you're going to do in the future. And so what I want you to do is I want you to confess those things before God. Scripture tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just confess them, just give it to him. So in this time of prayer before you come and take communion, that may be you. You may just need to confess your sin before God. Lay it at the cross, everything. Say, God, I can't take this. I can't carry this on my own. You take it from me. You may be in here today, and you may not be a follower of Jesus. You're still not sure of all this, but something in your heart, you know God is drawing you to himself. Listen, I've been there, 19 years old. It wasn't by me seeking after God. God was seeking after me. How amazing is that? I wasn't even looking for God, and he found me. And there was a pulling at my heart. God was pulling at my heart, and I didn't even know what it meant. And that may be you this morning. Can I just say, Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. That may be the message you need to hear this Christmas. God loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't abandoned you. There's still peace to be found and joy to be found and love and hope to be found in him. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you, place your faith and trust in Jesus today. Make today the day of your salvation. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, all you have to do is you have to go before him and admit that you're a sinner. Just admit, confess your sin to him. God, I know that I'm unclean when it comes to your holiness and your standard. And then you place your faith in him to forgive you of all those sins and cleanse you of all those sins. And then you commit your life to following him. It's that easy. God, you take the sin. I can't deal with it anymore. I believe Jesus died for it. And so I place my faith and trust in you. And now my life is to follow you. That's as simple as it is. So whatever it is that you need to do business with God this morning, take a couple of moments and pray. And then as you're ready, you can come up or your family can come up and you can grab the elements and then take them back to your seat and we'll share in a time of communion together, okay? So let's do that. Let's pray.
This has concluded our online message. For additional information about Grace City Church, please visit gracecitytemple.com. Also, head over to our Facebook page to learn more about the discipleship and ministry opportunities available. Thank you once more for tuning in, and I'll see you soon at Grace City Church.